We want to welcome everybody to Jenkins Church this morning. I'm sorry, I'm not quite awake yet, and it's my first time as worship leader, so I'm learning away. Just stumble through with me. Hope everybody's had a great morning. At this Christmas season, I hope that we keep the real meaning of the season in our hearts. We're going to open with our prelude. We enter into God's gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Now, if you'll do your greeting with each other, if you reach up, stand up, everybody, meet your neighbor, tell them good morning, shake their hands.
Hi, neighbor. How you doing? Let me test this out. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
They're working about like we are at home. Our recital was last night, and they came over to our house afterwards.
Do we have any announcements? The bulletin. Where's the bulletin insert? Let's see. What's going on today? Today we're going to have the elder nominations. Brother Larry will be doing that. We're going to do it after the prayer and Lord's Prayer. Let's see. This afternoon at 5 o'clock is Kids for Christ. That's children ages 5 through 5th grade. There's a session meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Wednesday, December 7th, is the last Wednesday evening dinner until January the 11th. And there's also a CPWM monthly meeting that night at 7. And remember, next Sunday, December 11th, is the Youth and Children's Christmas Plays. They start at 6 o'clock. We hope to see everybody here supporting the youth and the children as they present their plays on Christmas. I think that there's other announcements in the bulletin. Is there anything other than what I announced that needs
to be? Dolly.
This also today at 4 o'clock p.m., the junior and senior high have dress rehearsal for the play. And everyone, please try to be there. It's the Sunday before, and we want to make sure that we have this down pat. There's also another play rehearsal on Wednesday at 6:30. Okay, any prayer requests? Any? Go ahead, Millie.
My mom has 5 brothers, and one passed away yesterday. He had been ill in Florida. They just managed the family.
First name again?
David.
Anybody else? Any prayer requests? Any praise? Okay, we pause for a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for our worship of God. Please bow your heads. Amen. There's going to be a congregational meeting now to talk about our new elders.
See, Mr. Steve here, he is the clerk of the session. If somebody will take his duties back there and welcome everybody. In the Confession of Faith, we're Cumberland Presbyterians. I think I'm on. And we have a book of order to go by. We call it the Confession of Faith. And the Confession of Faith is our confessional statement. And then we have a constitution to tell us how to do things. And sometimes even with the constitution telling us how to do things, we still get things confused. But in your Confession of Faith, on page 31 of the most recent printing of the confession, it would have August 2001 edition on the spine of the back, or also on the front. On page 31, sections 2.53, also this is in the Constitution. A congregational meeting of the members of a particular church shall convene for the following purposes. And one of them is to determine the type of tenure of office for elders and deacons, to nominate, elect, or accept the resignation of elders and deacons, to establish a quorum of the session or diaconate, if we have one and we don't have a diaconate or board of deacons, as less than a majority of the members, to recall an elder or deacon whose service is no longer acceptable to the church, and where state law or presbytery requires it, to authorize the sale and the purchase of church property. So those are the five things that we have congregational meetings for. Another statement says a congregational meeting may be convened also to provide an opportunity for communication between the session and the congregation on other matters, but without the procedure of voting. So if you're from a Baptist congregation or a congregational type government congregation and have come here, you may wonder why we don't do more voting in the congregation. Well, to me, that's a death notice to have too many votes in the congregation. So we elect elders to represent us, and we hope that they represent us in the right manner. If they don't, we always say, vote them out. That's what we say in civil government, and I guess we would say it in church government. Now, a congregational meeting of the members of the church shall be held when authorized by the session, or at the request of 15% of the total membership of the church, or when directed by the presbytery. Notice of the meeting shall be given. So we've been giving notice of the meeting for a number of weeks through the newsletter and through the bulletin. The minister in charge, or in a church without a pastor, a minister designated by the presbytery, shall serve as moderator of the congregational meeting. The clerk of the session shall record the minutes of the meeting, which shall be approved by next meeting of the session and may be a part of his record. So I'm reading this in case there is a question of why we do what we do the way we do it. And it's all outlined here. So, I'm calling a congregational meeting of this body. We will have another congregational meeting next Sunday. I'm looking to Steve for yes or no. We're going today. The congregational meeting is to nominate elders for 206, 207, 208, or the class of 208. The next week we will also have a congregational meeting to elect those nominated with two services. If somebody was nominated in the second service from the floor, you wouldn't have opportunity to vote on them or not. So we use two services to nominate and two services to elect. Also, there's another matter to come before the congregation next week also, but I think that one can wait to announce that one to that meeting. It's kind of a personal matter. Nothing bad on anybody's part, but still a personal matter. So we'll wait on that one and announce it next week and deal with it. But it will not only be to elect. Also next week, tell them that.
We'll have a meeting of the corporation. We have to have an annual meeting once a year. Next week, while we're doing our elections, we will have a meeting of the corporation. The corporation business, that's what we will be doing at that time.
2 or 3 years ago, we incorporated for legal purposes in the civil world. And so we're dealing with that. We have to elect officers and any other business needs to come before the corporation. Now, where we do this so seldom, let us pray. Lord God, we seek your leadership and your direction as we meet for the business of the church as is outlined in our Constitution. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of the church and truly ask your leadership in Christ's name. Amen. We have a report from the session. Is there additional nominations? Or are there additional nominations? Is there an additional nomination, or are there more than one additional nominations? We've heard these names: Louise Russell, Donnelly Stout, Karen Miles. Do we have additional nominations from the floor? Motion made and seconded that nomination cease. All in favor say aye. And opposed, like sign. And you may be seated. Thank you. We will go through the same process, or very similar, at the 10:15 service, and then we will have the election next week. Now, this is nomination day. If you don't nominate this day, we won't take any more for these three offices. So if you decide you want to nominate somebody, you come to the second service, because at the end of that service or at the end of that congregational meeting, nominations will be over. Okay. Anything else?
Can we do it? Adjourn?
Okay. Let's pray. I'm not sure of the process, but
we don't want to stop that other one.
Lord God, thank you. Give your blessings. Give your direction. We are your people, and we want to honor you and serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Okay, if you join me in the call to worship, it's printed in the bulletin. Let me hear what God will speak, for God will speak peace to God's people.
Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who fear God, that glory may dwell in our land.
Yea, God will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
In God's righteousness, let us worship, that we may walk in God's way.
Okay, now open your hymnals to number 125, Joy to the World.
Stand, please.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let her redeem her King. Let every heart prepare his room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Maker reigns. Let men their song. Sorrows grow, nor born despair.
far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
And let's pray. Lord God, we have approached You concerning the business of the church. And now we come approaching You, Lord, concerning our worship before You. Lord, as we come into Your house today, we pray for the presence of Your Spirit to control, well, not a good word, Lord, but to influence each of us. And Lord, we really want to be under Your control, because we know that Your control is a good control. And we know, Father, that You have our best interest at heart. And You want us to do good things and loving things. And You want to direct us in doing these. So, Father, we would ask You, yes, control us, direct us, inspire us, uphold us. Lord, as we are in the Advent season, as we look to the celebration of the birth of Christ, oh Lord, may it be a heartfelt remembrance of a Savior coming into the world. And Lord, though we deal every day with the commercial aspects of the Christmas season, we pray, Lord, that You would enable us to put You first and Jesus first in our lives and in our celebration. Lord, that we might not make a mockery of Him coming into the world. Lord, we just seek continually to be in Your favor, especially as we wait the second coming of Jesus. And Lord God, in His name we pray, praying as He taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank Pam for coming and giving us her presence to lead us in worship today.
Okay, now join me in the statement of faith. It's found on page 716 of your hymnal. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
special music this morning will be performed by Sam Sutters.
Good to be with you today. I know that I've been out a lot this fall. It's been doing the Lord's work. I'll be gone again next week to Moss Point, Mississippi. And then again, January the 14th, I'll be going to Guatemala. So it's going to be, looks like 2006 will be a busy year too. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. On your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. On night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. On high, divine, on high, when Christ was born, oh, holy night, holy night. When Christ was born, oh, holy night. Fall, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Alive, divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, divine, oh, night. Oh, holy night, when Christ was born. Holy night. Oh, holy night.
Okay, now comes the time in the service when we confess our sin. The call to confession, for the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. We confess in unison, if you please join me. Father, in Jesus Christ,
you called us to be a servant people,
but we do not do what you command. We are often silent when we should speak, and useless when we could be useful. We confess that we are lazy servants, timid, and often act in a heartless manner.
Have mercy on us, O God. And though we do not deserve your care,
forgive us and free us from sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you please have a silent prayer of confession. Your assurance of forgiveness. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, if you'll turn in your hymnal to hymn number 120, we're going to see the advent of our God. Bondanzas will come up, and we're going to have our lighting of the Advent candle.
Today, the second Sunday in Advent, we light the second candle to remind us that the prophets waited for a Messiah to come and save the people. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness."
Two short passages. First, from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "The Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son, and will name him Emmanuel." And from Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, "I wait patiently for God to save me. I depend on him alone. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated."
Our offertory sentence this morning: "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give." Will our ushers come forward, please? You may be seated. Okay, we need to turn in our hymnals to hymn number 133, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Let's sing First and Last. First and Last of 133.
Our scripture lesson. Was anybody scheduled to read the scripture lesson today? Okay, it comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If you'd read along with me, it's in your bulletin or you may open your Bible. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. On the way to the manger. And that's where we are today in the Christmas season, if we are celebrating the birth of Christ. As a church, that's where we find ourselves, on the way to the manger. I hope that we want to see baby Jesus again. That we'd like to go, and if we could, go to Jerusalem. Numerous churches, Bethlehem. Numerous churches build a village of Bethlehem and invite people to come, and it's a modern day version of what it might have been like. On the way to the manger. Maybe going to the manger, we can touch base again with Mary and Joseph. Maybe we can find Simeon that old man that was in the temple waiting for the Messiah to be born. Maybe we can find Anna, that elderly lady who had been a widow for so many years and lived very near the temple, if not there, and was at the temple continually. Maybe we can meet the shepherds again. And I haven't observed the two Christmas plays, by one by the children and one by the young people, that we are getting ready for. Do we have shepherds this year in either one of them? Maybe we can find the shepherds again somewhere along the way. It may be that we just will read the story again. Luke chapter 2. It may be that we'll find the wise men again. And we have to go to Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus to find them. Maybe we find Elizabeth and Zacharias. And certainly today we look at their son, John. We call him John the Baptist. And then as we journey to the manger, journey to Bethlehem, we would not forget Herod. I still remember a little girl in Carroll's Sunday school class in El Dorado, Arkansas. And she learned to pray. And she, I remember Carol getting tickled, I guess. Is that a good preachery word? She got tickled, and the little girl had prayed for the mean old king. There was a mean old king, King Herod. And then there was some angels. Gabriel, there was an angel, and other angels. And the innkeeper. Who's ever played the innkeeper in the Christmas pageant? Played the innkeeper. He gets a bad rap, I think. In most pageants, he really does. Who did I forget? You can go to Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2 and find these, or you can go to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. We've been there before. We've been to the manger before, have we not? But it's good to go again. Kind of like people used to go to Court Square or Town Square on Saturday afternoon. They had been before. They knew who would be there today. They had seen them, maybe passed them that week, but some of them they hadn't seen since last Saturday. But they enjoyed going to, didn't matter if it was Franklin Town Square or Pulaski Town Square or Murfreesboro Town Square, they still went to town and shopped and met people and fellowship. It's good to go back to the manger. We've been there before. But it's good to go again to remember the advent of our Lord and Savior. That's what this Advent season is about. A season of preparing to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. And as we prepare to celebrate, we do a little celebrating even in the preparation. To celebrate means to observe or to remember. And so we remember through the songs. Incidentally, we sang a Christmas carol today. We'll sing a lot of Christmas carols next Sunday, because the following Sunday, the choir will present the cantata at both services. And then in the next Sunday will be Christmas morning, and we know that some of you will be elsewhere for that day. So we'll spend a good deal of time next week singing Christmas carols. If you have a favorite one, if it's not listed, just call it out or say, I'm going to ask them to sing that one. That's my favorite one or one of my favorite ones. We said last week, this is a time to prepare. Much preparation goes on for the secular aspect of Christmas. What about our spiritual aspect, our relationship with Jesus? Or renew our preparing. We're not only looking for Jesus to come as a baby in the cradle or in a manger in Bethlehem. It's a time to prepare for Jesus' second coming, as we talked about last week in some detail. Coming when He will call His faithful to that heavenly place that He has prepared for us. Fred Craddock, and I printed this statement in your outline or the sermon notes, call it whichever you will. He is a renowned preacher in Georgia and other places too, but he was a professor at Candler School of Theology at Emory University, and still preaching on a regular basis in a small Christian church, the Christian church denomination. And he comments on this passage. He says, "Advent pilgrims, on the way to the manger, must pass through the desert where John is preaching." Advent pilgrims, if we're on the way to the manger, if we're pilgrims on the way to the manger, we must pass through, or we ought to pass through, the desert where John is preaching. And that's where I want to go for a few moments here today. Look at John the Baptist. We call him John. We call him John the Baptizer. Mark identifies John by what he did rather than by his title. Matthew starts out calling him John the Baptist, but Mark tells about what he did. He came baptizing, and he came preaching. Mark also describes his clothing and his diet. Kind of weird dress as we look back from our vantage point, but I think it was rather weird for his day also. Camel's hair for clothing, locusts and honey for a diet. Luke tells us of a relationship with Jesus, a physical relationship. They were cousins. Mark saw John as the prophet mentioned in Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 40, verse 3. Mark saw John as a messenger and as a voice. Craddock says that John was a prophet both of anticipation and preparation. John came to get people to look for Jesus or to anticipate His coming, and he also came to get people ready for His coming. The prophet said, the Messiah is coming. The Savior is coming. God's going to send a Savior to the world. That got their attention. And then he says, this is the way to prepare. He was the messenger preparing the road for the Messiah, the Savior, or as we know Him, Jesus. Getting the people ready, if you will, to receive Jesus. Calling the people to repentance. And after repentance, righteous living. There had been no prophetic voice in Israel, Judea, Jerusalem for 400 years. We read a lot about the prophets in the Old Testament, do we not? But God had ceased to speak through the prophets, or if He spoke through them, they failed to hear Him. We have no record of prophetic messages for 400 years. Spiritual drought, if you will. God speaking to His people, it was not happening, at least through the prophet. And here comes a man on the scene named John the Baptist, or named John. We call him John the Baptist because of his function. And he was that prophetic voice. And Mark says of him, so does the other gospel writers. or a writer, both of them, he came proclaiming a message from God. And that message being that God hadn't forgot you. 400 years ago, you heard about this one who would come. Now, he is very near. He is very near. What was John's work? He has been described thus. It was John who burst upon the scene, creating new excitement, stirring hearts, and gathering all of Judea and Jerusalem to the Jordan River to hear his message, a message of repentance, to call the people to confess their sins, and to encourage the people to receive baptism and the forgiveness of sin. The curious came, for he was unusual. The nostalgic came because they were thinking back to the time of Elijah. They were looking for a prophet like Elijah. He stirred a longing in the hearts of the people for the good old days that these people had only read about, but when they read about it, it was so glorious. But the power of John's message, the power of his message, was that the Messiah, the Savior, is at the door. The long-expected Messiah. We've got a song that we sing. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Come and set your people free. And John was saying, he's coming, he's very near, he'll be here real soon. He's at the door. And he was calling the people to repent, knowing that repentance was essential in their preparation to receive Jesus or the Savior. And the people listened. Because he gave them hope, they listened and they responded. And he gave them also a way to enter into that hope. What was his message? We've said it. His message was repent. Repent. He called these people to God. They were God's people. But he called them to repent of the attitudes that they had gained as much as anything, but also the way of life that they had become accustomed to. He called them to repent of the arrogant assumption that they alone were favored by God. See, we read about the Pharisees not having anything to do with Samaritans. We can read about Pharisees not even being willing to shake hands with a Gentile. If they did, they had to go wash themselves because they were polluted. And John called the people to repent of this attitude. Repent, he said, of the assumption that you are exempt from the moral demands that you put on others. And Jesus, when he got on the scene, when he began his ministry, he criticized the Pharisees for demanding of the people things that they didn't even think about doing themselves. So repent of the assumption that they were not included in God's message to repent. Repent of the thinking that they were better than their worst enemy or their worst neighbor, and that was what made them acceptable before God, as though God graded on a curve. You read it in Matthew's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, the details of this message. Repent, he said. John did. Be honest. Come clean. Unload your fruitless patterns of behavior. pretty good message, isn't it? Strange man preaching it, but a great message. Disturbing message, isn't it? Confess. Enter into a rite of cleansing. Baptism was a symbol of cleansing. I wonder this morning, does this speak to us at all? Do we have that need to repent as we prepare to meet our God? As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, or as we prepare for Jesus to return? His message. The most important part of His message, Jesus is the one. Jesus is the Savior. Let us pray. Lord God, we're Your people. We're going to Bethlehem. Even if we choose not to go, we'll find ourselves being dragged along. We'll be there. Even if some of us want to say, "Bah humbug, let's forget all of this Christmas stuff." Lord, it's all around us. Lord, we're really happy that it is. We need to visit the manger again. We need to visit the Christ child. We need to remember the humbleness of how You entered the world. Father, we need to remember Jesus' second coming. We may try to avoid it. We may try to push it out of our mind. But Lord, Your word tells us that it's real. That it will happen. We may think that it's not going to happen because it appears that Jesus has tarried. But Peter answers that for us. Thank You for it. Thank You that we can expect to be taken from this world and have an eternity with You. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. On this second Sunday in Advent, first Sunday in December, we are disciples of Jesus, and you are invited to remember Jesus coming as a baby, but also Him coming as a sacrifice, a Savior, sacrificed upon the cross for us and for our salvation. Matthew tells us that while they were eating a Passover meal to remember a freedom given to the Israelites while they were in Egypt, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." You who are disciples of Jesus, we invite you to eat and to drink from His table, remembering His birth, but also remembering His death. If Steve and Ed and Roger and Bill will assist me. Please. Sam, Steve, step out if you'll assist. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these elements that remind us of the Word become flesh and then giving Himself for us, Jesus. Giving His body to be broken for us. Nourish us spiritually through these elements. In Christ's name. Lord, Your Word tells of the blood that was shed. We have the fruit of the vine that represents that blood in this cup before us. We thank You for it. Thank You for a revisiting that upper room, but revisiting Calvary. In Christ's name. To serve the people.
We mentioned this hymn is number 123. It's O Come, Emmanuel. Now maybe we mentioned one similar to it. Let's sing together. Verse 1 of 123.
didn't ask him.